World, WHEY.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Jim Moseley, Bob Zanotti with Gene and Chris in the Paracast, wearing our propeller heads as we go back through time to the 1960s to explore the New York UFO scene and some of the colorful personality and some of the unusual cases. And one of the more interesting characters at that time was a guy named Dominic Lucchesi, who was part of the original group that started Saucer News with you. Jim, tell us about Dom.
Well, he worked for Bendix Aviation as a, he called it a lead man, which would be like a foreman. He was a little bit above the other people in salary, hopefully, and that was his profession. He had a ability at mechanical things. His hobbies were not so much saucers at the beginning. He was into the occult, just like Robinson was, and I believe that he had a large library of strange books of all kinds. So, yes, he was an unusual guy, very interesting, and I enjoyed his company many times.
He was also a bit of a contrarian, wasn't he? He'd like to stir an argument.
Well, what he would do, I'm not sure what we might have been arguing about on the air, but he would go to parties of mine once in a while, and he would find somebody who he could give the business to in a very organized way. If somebody had a peculiar belief, he would just pick that belief apart, whether it was something that he really agreed with himself or if it was something else.
So right now we have a segment here where Jim Moseley and Dom Lucchesi, well, as they say, Dom wanted to pick a fight, and maybe that's what happened here.
You're familiar, I believe, with alloys. You know that a great number of new alloys are invented each year on our planet. I think it runs into the thousands. However, there are some which are definitely not invented as yet. I believe that if you had an artifact which constituted an alloy, of course it would have certain properties, maybe of heat resistance or what have you, that none of our alloys have. And if this were found, then you could certainly say that it was made on the planet, right?
Why don't you use the term none of our known alloys?
That's what I just said.
In other words, what you're trying to say, Jim, is that this scientist whom you would select in order to, we might say, this metallurgist, which he would have to be, in order to get a concise spectrographic analysis of this particular alloy, would be familiar with all the alloys being developed by our secret labs and everything like that on this planet. Is that
you
correct?
Seem to have a great talent at misunderstanding me, Mr. Lucchesi. Suppose it is known, just as an example, that nothing made on Earth can withstand a heat above a certain number of degrees, say 10,000 degrees. And say suddenly something is put forth that can withstand a heat of 20,000 degrees. And suppose the scientist does have a pretty good access to what is being done by the main nations on Earth, particularly the United States and Russia. And he would certainly know then that this is something that has not been produced on Earth.
Right. You're basing this all on supposition, though, Mr. Moseley.
Supposition?
After all, we have to realize one thing. There only is a limited number of elements. These elements are universal in nature, and therefore any alloy would be a composite of these various elements, which are the within the group of the of atomic weight.
You're telling us basic physics, which I'm familiar with. Saying that alloys, as you know, working in this sort of thing, I believe yourself, that an alloy can have properties which the individual elements don't. And as you invent new ones, why would they bother to make new alloys if this is not true?
I think that if you took the time out to speak to a qualified metallurgical researcher, you would find that most alloys are relatively well known. The temperature ranges of these alloys, of course, even the alloys which have not been compounded yet, will be known because they will depend basically on the inherent capabilities of the molecule to withstand these temperature ranges. And due to the fact that they are being compounded from the 98 elements, the 98, we might say, elements which are not created artificially in our atomic...
Dominic, there are 92 natural elements and 10 additional artificial ones, if you're interested in some information. That is, 92 the, that is the correct
one. Well, regardless of what this amount is, it still would have to be qualified. I don't think that this would be a very good criteria of determining something that's coming from another planet.
Well, that's interesting. That's fascinating because of the fact that you correct Dom, who's the engineer, the scientific guy, Jim, correcting him on the number of natural elements.
I had forgotten that, but let's just analyze it. I mean, if Dom was so great at scientific knowledge, it is very strange indeed that he would not know the number of natural elements, because I have no background in science, and I happen to know that. And it's interesting that by now I think we have roughly 20 artificial elements that go up to about 115 or something.
I think it's 118. It's still 92 natural elements.
That is correct.
I looked it up.
Well, I'm glad you did.
You see, we have Google.
I think it has to be said here that, at least that was my impression, talking to Dom. Dom, he did know a lot. There was no question about it. He was a radio ham. He was a technician. So, I mean, he did have a lot of knowledge. But I think his sort of role or perceived role in this New York group or circle, he was sort of the scientist, in quotes. He was also the iconoclast. He was the devil's advocate. And he enjoyed doing verbal battle with people. I think the clip that we heard just a moment ago is a classic Dom Lucchesi. He was a very cynical individual. Later on in life, before he actually died, I understand he really got extremely cynical. And went into the dark side, Jim. That's the story that I heard.
I don't know really that much about his last days. I know he was born with a congenital heart disease. I can't remember the name of it right now. But he had health problems all his life, and his heart trouble got worse later. By that time, we're up at least into the 70s. I didn't see as much of Dom by any means as I had previously. But he died at quite a young age from complications from this heart disease.
I saw him for the last time at one of your parties, and they were very good parties. I think you were down, you weren't in Fort Lee anymore. I think you were down in, was it Weehawken or Hoboken or something at one time?
Well, yeah, actually it was probably Guttenberg.
Guttenberg, that's right. Guttenberg.
Yeah, Guttenberg is named after the guy that first published the Bible on a printing press, the inventor of the printing press.
Yeah.
And so in that way, it's easy to remember. It's a tiny little town that's sandwiched in between those others that you mentioned.
Very special.
Yeah, I used to have parties there. Well, you are saying what I did. Dom just enjoyed arguing with people for the sake of arguing, and he didn't necessarily even believe what he was saying himself.
Could I just add this? We're talking about parties in New York. Okay, New York is a big city and lots of people. And I'm not well plugged into this the way you are, but I had the impression that there was nothing quite like the New York group or the New York circle. It was vibrant. There was always something going on. There was the lecture groups. There were parties, informal meetings. People went to other people's houses. This was before the days of the internet. There was no Skype. There was even a long-distance phone call. You had to see your banker first. So people met and talked, and there was a lot of excitement about these things and a feeling of adventure and discovery, which I don't think we have anymore today.
Well, I think you may be exaggerating a bit there. We, you know, kept in touch with each other, but I don't know if the feeling of excitement was so great, except that we felt, at least most of us did, that we were looking into not just an interesting hobby, but something that was fundamentally very important to mankind, and we probably thought that sometime very soon the solution to this saucer mystery would come along, and need I add that so many years later it hasn't come along yet, so there again there's a moral somewhere.
Can I just qualify this very briefly? When I say excitement, there was maybe the word speculation is important here, because in those days, science was not what it is today. We've been to the moon, or most people believe we have. We know a lot more about space. We've got the Hubble telescope. We got all this stuff. So the element of speculation and almost childlike wonder is out of it. I remember those days when people would speculate about the saucers and who was in them and where they came from. And now, of course, with scientific, more and more scientific evidence, the room for speculation has gotten smaller. That's what I meant when I used the term, excitement. It seemed more exciting at the time.
The sense of wonder in New York ufology, 1960s. We also wonder if you won't send us a tweet. At The Paracast. The Paracast on Twitter. Bob Zanotti. Jim Mosley with Gene and Chris. You're in
The Paracast.
whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
For a long time, you've heard me talk about building your own food supply with eFoods Direct. As a listener, you know why you need to have a supply of the best storable food on the planet. Every day, we document the attempts to take control of our lives. But there's one thing we can all control, your greatest dependency, food. eFoods Direct products are made with only the best ingredients and none of the trash and contaminants like trans fats, GMOs, or MSG. This food is nutrient dense and tastes great. It's simple to make, portable, and has a shelf life of up to 25 years. Now with eFoods Direct, you'll get the most affordable, best tasting food you can buy. And the new products and pricing will blow you away. Compared to other food sources, including home cooked meals, you can cut your food costs in half. You just can't afford to ignore this. Call 800-409-5633. Or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex for specials. Don't let this offer pass you by. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. More the best for less guaranteed.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we explore the New York UFO scene, voices of the past from the 1960s, fascinating people, sometimes a little over the top, enjoying the things they had to say and some of the ideas they had to present. Now, here's another example, Jim, of where you and Dom had a bit of a brush-up over something. You ready for this one?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I just want to bring up one thing here, Jim, mainly for clarification. There may be many listeners who have not familiarized themselves with these various discussion concerning that so-called source of research. Now, you call your organization the Unexplained Celestial...
Events Research Society. In fact, you helped me organize it.
Yeah, well, originally, when you originally... When you originally took that over, that was known as Nexus. You will agree to that, Jim.
I changed
the
name,
Nexus was only the only connotation there with a connecting link for the dissemination of information to various individuals who are interested in this subject. Now, your organization investigates so-called flying saucers. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Is there any proof that such a thing as flying saucers exists?
Well, haven't we gone all through this?
No, I'm just doing this to clarify a point.
Well, we were talking about the $1,000 reward.
Yeah.
I said that there apparently is no one able to come forth with proof, and therefore I even went so far as
so
to draw the
offer. So therefore your organization is researching something which there is no proof for its existence. It's sort of an unknown research thing. In other words, you're researching something which is unknown. So the point is this. Wouldn't you say that rather that you are investigating a phenomena? And wouldn't you also agree and admit that most researchers, and I'm not specifically referencing you, Mr. Mosley, by no means, most researchers have a tendency to bring in all unrelated or any odd happening, and in some way, psychologically connecting it, we might use it psychologically and psychotically, hooking it up in some way or referencing it with sources. In other words, anything which is beyond their explanation or anything in some way is immediately tied in with sources. Pancakes, potatoes, grease, cold meteorites. I mean, would you agree on that?
Well, you have a very good point there, and first of all, from the title of our organization itself, you'll find that we do feel qualified or equally qualified to investigate anything unusual, especially if it has to do with sky phenomena, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. And I would also say that you are right in assuming that people who are interested in flying saucers are interested in unknown things of all kinds, such as monsters, such as Fortean events, as we call them, any strange thing that happens or falls from the sky, anything having to do with poltergeists or ghosts and so on. Now, currently, especially in the last two or three years, I've tried to put in as much as I can of this type of thing in my magazine, not only because I'm interested in it, but because I know that the same people who are interested in saucers are interested in these other fields. I only want to tell you that the fields are not necessarily connected, and they are probably separate. And I don't think that anyone should confuse flying saucers, which are apparently solid objects in the sky, with psychic phenomena or any of the other things which we are also equally interested in, but in a different way.
Yeah, well, of course, you realize that the reason I brought that out was I did want you to qualify. I happen to know that this is the way you feel about the organization, and I just wanted it qualified that it was not strictly an organization that has a tendency to investigate unknown events.
Jack Robinson.
Dom, wouldn't you say that there's just about as much evidence for the UFO as there are for cosmic rays?
I would say that there is much evidence for anything which is unidentified. I certainly would not be able to specifically reference this against any known facts, figures, or data. Therefore, we still remain when we try to classify an unknown in an unknown category. It is still unexplained. So how can we make any specific reference as to an object, thing, and it, or give it a nomenclature referencing these specific objects or phenomena involved?
Yes.
Yes. I never realized how good I was on the radio.
You were always extremely eloquent and
artistic,
Jim, and I was always impressed by that. I'll be honest with you. I wasn't, you know, I was in my early 20s. I wasn't the master of the microphone yet. We were all learning at the time, and I was always delighted to have you on because you were such a good storyteller and extremely articulate.
It was fun also, Jim, to listen to Dom, the way he would bring up these arguments. And this is not the only example. There were several times that you and Dom had dust-ups on Bob's show.
Well, he was, you can tell how he drags in all kinds of words that he probably can't even clearly define himself. And he was talking above his own head, you might say, just for the sake of saying something, although I guess it was good radio, so it was all right.
I'm glad you said that, Jim, because I think you're spot on there.
I think he missed his calling. He should have been a prosecuting attorney.
Yeah, that would have been something he could have considered. He certainly would have made more money than he did. He actually, even though he had a good job at Bendix, he barely made a living because he had, I think, 3 children and a wife and, you know, it costs to live. It still does, and nothing has changed about that.
But he was some character, really a fascinating character. Now, over the years, Jim, you had this group of people who helped you found Saucer News, Augie and Dom, but they didn't have any participation after those early times, right?
They didn't have what?
They didn't do much with you other than show up at parties or radio shows.
I was the one that actually typed it, I believe, and at least I was the one that took it to the printer and paid the bill to the printer. So I would say that they were with me at the beginning, but not to the same extent that I was. If that makes any sense.
Well, when it came to paying the bills, the printing bills, then let Jim do it.
Well, yes, probably I had more money than they did. It's always been a legend in the saucer field that I was infinitely rich, and perhaps that was true way back then, but I can tell you it's not true anymore now, but that's a long story.
Jim Moseley, however, was not the Warren Buffett of the UFO field, contrary to some people's opinions.
No one ever really compared me to Warren Buffett, but I'm glad that you did.
I think he's older than you. That's one difference, other than having slightly more money.
Yes.
But these were interesting characters, and we have others, by the way. This is not the end of it. In future segments, we'll have Jim again talking about one of the notorious, shall we say, UFO contactees, Howard Menger, who supposedly was building his own flying saucer at the time. We'll hear from that guy with the aluminum foil band around his head to ward off evil spirits or Deros, the mystic barber, Yona Fortner. And Jack Robinson later on the show is going to talk about the incredible case of a friend of his, Steve Brody, a case where he says this is what got him interested in UFO and occult studies. It's kind of a long segment, which you'll be hearing later in the show. So we've got a lot of meat to present.
And nobody should miss it.
Definitely not. This is stuff where Bob spent hours and hours listening to the old recordings, digitizing them, submitting them to me, and then I gave them a, shall we say, a shave and haircut to get rid of some of the background noise and bring them up to date. Bob Zanotti, broadcaster, Jim Moseley, something or other. With Gene and Chris, we haven't figured out what we are, but we know that you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231. And the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
You may snicker when you hear this message, but you won't laugh after you experience the best-kept health secret ever, Camel Milk. Camel Milk is loaded with health benefits far superior to other milk. Camel Milk has antibacterial, antiviral, and anti-tumor properties, is rich in B vitamins, and Camel Milk is 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, and 10 times higher in iron. And Camel Milk contains 52 units of insulin-like proteins per liter, effectively lowering blood sugar levels. Many of our members testified that drinking Camel Milk reversed diabetes and greatly improved autism. Camel Milk is easily digested by those who are lactose and beta casein intolerant and comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm, shipped on dry ice to preserve freshness. Go to CamelMilkForSale.com now and look under Products and Pricing for the Spring Special with free bonus pints. That's CamelMilkForSale.com, CamelMilkForSale.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven 3-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
This is Kurt Southern, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
With Jim Mosley, editor of Saucer Smear and a case of the noisy air conditioner. With Bob Zanotti, who doesn't need an air conditioner, or do you, in Switzerland?
Oh, no, not in this country.
Okay. And Chris O'Brien in the place in Arizona where maybe the air conditioner need is questionable. And Gene Steinberg where it's 80 degrees in Phoenix, Arizona. So I do need an air conditioner. Keep all the equipment from breaking down. Now, in the early days, you did a story, Jim, about someone you called the Jersey Adamski, and that was Howard Menger, a contactee from New Jersey, who, like George Adamski, met people allegedly from the planet Venus. And I thought the song from Paul McCartney, Venus and Mars, are all right tonight. Before we hear you talking about your encounter with Howard Menger back in 1963, tell us more about him.
Well, I never really bothered to study the details of what he had seen and what he had done. The only time I really got to know Howard Menger to any degree was the time that he was one of the main speakers at this classic convention that I had in New York in 1967. He was one of the featured speakers, and he and his wife stayed at my apartment in New York, and I was staying at the Commodore Hotel, which is where the convention was being held. So during that visit, I got to know him quite well. And what I liked about Howard Menger more than anything else, I made it pretty clear to him all along in a polite way that I didn't really buy his story, as Long John might have put it. But I did respect him and like him, and he didn't hold that against me, which was unusual.
Now, interesting, Jim, there was a time a couple of years before that where you and I met Menger at this diner across the street from your offices in New York City. That's when he started getting on this kick where he didn't think he really contacted E.T. It was some kind of government experiment. Remember
that?
Yes,
yes, that's right. Well, again, I don't know the details, but this is very amusing, I think. For a short time, Long John had a TV show, and only his elite of his guests were invited on it, and I was not. But Howard Menger was, and I did not even hear or see the TV show, but it became legendary. When Menger got on the show, he was on this new kick, as you just suggested, and he had decided somehow that the entities he saw and the experiences that he had were somehow connected with the American government and were not connected with space at all. And I hear tell that Long John almost had a heart attack. He didn't expect this. The whole idea of having him on was to talk about flying saucers from outer space, and he had changed his whole story completely, and it wasn't what Long John wanted to hear. I don't know if it was what the audience wanted to hear, but that was the last time, I'm sure, that Menger was on any of Long John's shows, radio or television.
And sometime later, you did a session on Bob's show where you talked about Howard Menger and his plans to build a flying saucer.
Well, there's a number of new things. I might mention, for example, that Howard Menger has been very active lately. I've never been a particular fan of Mr. Menger's, but he is a person who is very well known in the field. You may recall that a number of years ago he had space contacts. Now, however, he is no longer having space contacts, or if he is, he will not say so. He is now in the free energy field, and he is currently in a unknown location in Pennsylvania building a craft which he calls the X-4. This is to be a model, not a thing large enough for a human being to go up in, but simply a model, which, when it is completed, will be radio controlled and will be operating on a new principle which Menger claims to have invented by himself, or possibly with some help from the space people, although he will not admit to this. So I had an interview recently with Mr. Menger and found it quite interesting, and he says that as soon as he has this model ready to operate, he will let me know, and he will have a special test demonstration at which several scientists will be present. I'm not a scientist, but I believe I will also be allowed to be present. There will be an Air Force colonel there, according to Mr. Menger, and after this successful, or we hope successful, demonstration, then there will be a convention. I believe that after he has a successful demonstration with this particular model, he will either sell the model or he will create several identical ones or improved ones and sell them. He's talking about eventually getting an 8-foot job, which will have a person in it and which will presumably be controlled by the person that is in the craft. However, at the present, he's only got radio control models. Now, frankly, I want to make it clear, I don't have any particular faith in whether this will work or not. All I know is that Mr. Menger was kind enough to tell me all about it and give me a rather exclusive story for my magazine, and beyond that, I really know nothing. I haven't seen the craft, I haven't seen the place in Pennsylvania where Menger is working, and I can not give any first-hand information on how much of this is true.
And the timeline on that, Gene, was 1963.
59 years later, we're still waiting, right, Jim?
Yes, I don't think he ever really succeeded in doing all that. At least I never heard about it.
Kind of reminds me of Stephen Greer in his contactee experiences sort of morphing into the whole realm of free energy devices that we're still waiting to see.
I'm thinking Otis T. Carr. Remember him? He was building a saucer, too, that never materialized.
Yes. Didn't it turn out to be some kind of a exhibit or ride or something at a carnival or amusement park out in Oklahoma City? Or have I got that mixed up?
Well, the version of the story I heard from some audio I remember was that he was quite serious. In fact, if I remember correctly, you were invited to take a test ride in it. I think Long John Neville was also invited but couldn't make it because of a dinner arrangement at that time.
God, watch out for those dinner arrangements. They really hurt your scheduling.
Yeah. Jackie Gleason, I think, was also invited.
But what happened was nothing. And I believe there was an incident there where Otis T. Carr tried to commit suicide because of his inability to provide what he had promised, and I'm not I'm very hazy about some of this, but...
I think possibly he found a way to get himself admitted to the hospital so he did not have to make good on his claims.
I believe, yes, that's correct. He probably pretended to try to commit suicide so he'd be out of sight when everybody realized that this thing wasn't ever going to work, and he didn't want to face the people that probably had put money into it.
And also face the authorities who might try to arrest him. Well, I'm too sick. I'm crazy. You don't want to arrest the person who is mentally ill, right?
Yeah, I never met him, but he must have been an interesting character.
We had so many of those back in the 60s, and I have to kind of think here that we don't have that kind of character these days, and we've got another one in the next segment that I'll tell you about. But, yeah, we didn't have such... as they say, over-the-top characters. Today, they tend to be more straight ahead, even if the stories are completely crazy.
Well, I think they're more practiced at putting on a veneer of sanity so that they'll pass muster with at least part of the public, yes.
In those days, they could be as outlandish as they could be. They could wear those propeller heads and do all those crazy things. And people would accept them, put them on TV, put them on radio, and pay attention and buy their books. Today, if you want to sell a saucer book, good luck.
Yeah, today it's important to marry fantasy with pseudoscience. That's the magic formula today. Back in the 50s and 60s, people enjoyed a good show, and as you say, they could say anything they wanted, the wilder the better. And people lapped it up.
Today, of course, we have them competing with 24/7 cable news, and they have to find the stories, but these days it's more about politics and show business personalities, unfortunately. Bob Zanotti, radio broadcaster, joining us. Jim Mosley, who's the editor-publisher of Saucer Smear, and we'll let you know in the next segment how to get a copy. You're with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
And now another CentOS Game Changer with sports broadcaster Aaron Andrews.
I'm standing in the store of a major retailer in Boston with John, the regional manager. John, how do you have time to stay focused on your customers?
Well, a detailed playbook and support from a team of pros, like CentOS for fire protection.
Now, CentOS is known for uniforms, but their players in fire safety too?
They are. CentOS provides us with complete fire testing, inspection, and repair. Extinguishers, emergency lights, sprinklers, alarms...
The safety rulebook for retail stores is pretty strict. How does CentOS compete?
Well, I used to have to call a sprinkler guy, an alarm guy, basically a different guy for everything. But now with one call, CentOS ensures we meet all regulations.
Sounds like bringing in CentOS for fire safety was a winning move. For more, let's go to the booth.
Fire protection is one of many expert services CentOS can tackle for your business. Don't call multiple companies. Call 1-800-CINTAS-6 or visit CentOS.com/radio and tell them to bring in the team. With the white truck.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info. Or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256. Or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Exploring the 1960s in the UFO field in New York with Jim Mosley, editor of Saucer Smear, and Bob Zanotti, radio broadcaster with Gene and Chris on the Paracast. Jim, we're all waiting with bated breath. I'm going to take the bait out of my breath right now, right out of my nose. There it goes. Waiting with bated breath, Jim Mosley, how do we get a copy of Saucer Smear?
I thought you would never ask, yes.
And I wasn't going to ask, but you bribed me.
Saucer Smear, you can get a free sample copy by sending in your name and address to my mailing address, which is the only address that I use, and that's P.O. Box 1709, Key West, two words, Key West, Florida, 33041. And then if you like the sample copy, you could send us a love offering, as many people have done in the past and going on into the present. And, of course, we're very happy to have more people who we call non-subscribers, because there is no subscription price. You send in any amount that you consider reasonable, and we accept it, which is very unusual.
Jim, just a very quick question here. At what point in time and why did Saucer News become Saucer Smear?
Well, that's an interesting question. I actually dropped Saucer News at a given point. Gray Barker took it over for a short time in the very late 60s into perhaps 1972. And then there was a gap, and I started up again because Barker just dropped the ball. He couldn't afford to keep the thing going, apparently. So when I came back, I said, well, I'm going to do it differently. And I'm not going to try to have serious, long-winded stories by researchers, and I'm not going to try to keep up with everything in the field. I'm just going to enjoy myself. And one of the ways I enjoyed myself was to think of a, whatever, cute, interesting, or funny title for the magazine, and that's how Saucer Smear came about.
Now, for a while, you had a different name for the magazine every issue.
Yeah, that was a strange period, yeah. That was around the mid-70s. And finally, well, Eric Bechtjor, who is another strange character that goes a long way back, he was mainly into Bigfoot, among other things, but he claimed that he was the one that suggested Saucer Smear to be my permanent title. And when I refused to confirm that and make a big thing of it in the magazine, he became somewhat bitter. But that's another long story.
I'll tell you what, we had some really crazy characters. I'm going to have one more really out-of-this-world, outrageous person. So Bob Zanotti, who was the Mystic Barber, or what was the Mystic Barber?
Also known as the Tonsorial Artist of Brooklyn, which gives a little bit of a way. And I think we have to be very complete here about his ethnicity. He was, I believe, first-generation Sicilian. And I speak Italian, and I speak a little bit of English, so I can tell in his speech pattern, one of the reasons why people have always had difficulty in understanding him is because he mixes Italian grammar and syntax with English, and sometimes he goes completely off on a tangent. He was a big star on the Long John show in the early days, as I needn't tell you, and he did all kinds of things. He was into the Darrows, the race of people lived underground. He was very big on astral projection, which, of course, is still around with us today, a big topic of discussion. He was one of the pioneers, can we call him. He would wear headbands that would receive messages from the Martians and other extraterrestrial beings. And he had close contact with all of these people. He's gone to the center of the Earth. He went to Mars frequently. And he had close contact with all of these people. And he lived and breathed this folklore. And I want to tell you, we have a clip coming up here right now, which for technical reasons, it was never broadcast. Not because the quality was no good, but there was a screw-up at the station where I was working, and they forgot to put it on. It was recorded after a Saucer News lecture, and this was the very last show I did at that station. And
we understand why when you hear this. This is the Mystic Barber, Andy Sinatra, perhaps distantly related to that other guy named Sinatra.
Yeah, I think he claimed to be a distant relative of the other Sinatra, yes.
I hope, ladies and gentlemen, you understand this guy.
The Darrows are a physical being, people that do exist. But the problem is the Darrows are a group of demented people that run the earth. You see, that's, I took a trip down there, an astral trip, and they don't kill the people down there. When they're sick and demented, they are put in a certain section of the earth, on the ground. And they're taken there, supported there, and taken care of by the what they call the more clear-minded people, just like we have institutions over here, mental institutions. There has been that they have a lot of energy, and they want certain mineral stuff there. They give off vibrations. And anyone above the earth of the people who live here in that section receive these vibrations. And they probably cause a lot of kids being delinquent, a lot of people being delinquent, because these vibrations are traveling through the earth and affecting the people on the site.
Well, Andy, I think a lot of our listeners are familiar with you, basically because they've heard so much about your claim that you are a Martian. Have you had any recent experiences with the Martians? You taken any trips to Mars? Any of them visited your home or anything recently?
Well, I did. There's certain things I can't tell you what's developing up there. The Martians are a very low state of intelligence up there. Really, the science and the research work is coming from the planet Uranus. Whether the Star Nova, a lot of them escaped when they left before it exploded, and they landed in Uranus, and they started civilization there.
Tell me, what is the appearance of these Uranians in the Martians?
Well,
what do they look like?
Planetary aspect and biochemistry there. The people in Uranus are the men are 20 foot tall, and the women about 18 foot tall. And the reproduction organs are in the head.
Oh? Well, that should be interesting.
Well, it'll show you we're a setback from them. You notice when a child is born on Earth here, you touch the top of his head, it's soft.
Yeah.
Because we are offset, because they were our ancestors.
I see.
But being on Earth here, we've gone through a biological change.
Well, tell me, what are the Martians like?
Well, they're like similar to us, only they're small people, about 4 foot tall, blue eyes, light brown hair, because being that they live in caves in the sides of the mountain, just like our Grand Canyon, you understand?
Yeah.
They don't get much sunshine, and consequently, there's lack of sunshine, chances to cause the skin to become white and albinic action. They don't get much sunshine.
There are people right now listening to this in their cars, and they're right now falling off the road. You know, they're just basically skidding out of control listening to this guy. He does that to people.
Gene, did I hear him correctly? He said the Uranians had their reproductive organs on their heads.
That's right. Listen, I have to tell you this, guys. Gene, you'll appreciate this because you work as you edit all the time as well. That telephone interview with the Mystic Barber, Andy Sinatra, went on for about 40 minutes. And I tell you that what we just heard was the distillate of the most coherent pieces of that interview.
So basically, out of 40 minutes of incoherence, you got 2.5 minutes of semi-coherence.
It was an exercise in really serious editing.
Probably an exercise in patience.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to throw in a little thing. I only had one interesting experience with the Mystic Barber myself. I don't remember what the exact reason was, but maybe it was UN Day, maybe it was some other weird holiday, but on a certain day, the Mystic Barber decided to have a one-man demonstration in front of the United Nations building in New York. And I don't think anybody else was with us. I had a camera with me, and I accompanied the Mystic Barber over there, and he was standing across the street from the UN with his strange headdress stuff and so on.
I understand Johnny Depp's going to wear that in the new version of The Lone Ranger. No, that's not true.
Very, very likely. But anyway, he was deliberately attracting attention. I don't think he was yelling or anything, but a cop came over and wanted to know basically what he was up to. I think Andy pulled out some sort of ID, and he was, you know, trying to explain himself incoherently. And while that was going on, I took a picture of the cop talking to Andy, and I put this picture on the cover of the Next Saucer News.
And I'll tell you what, must have been one of the best-selling issues of Saucer News ever. We have Jim Moseley, currently working with Saucer Smear. We have Bob Zanotti with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast. The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right. Every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.